Today's podcast episode is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. Yo, usually I start with the regular intro. This show tonight was something else. This show was bananas. We got a lot to talk about when it comes to this, and you know how it goes, guys. We gotta kick it off right. We gotta start with the usual intro. Folks, welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. And I am your host, Conrad Cushman, and we are here tonight with a review of AEW Dynamite Road Rager. We've got a lot to get into. We've got a lot to talk about, and I cannot wait to get to some of this. Let's get into it. Yes, everyday pro wrestling, it can never be you. What is going on, everybody? We are here to review AEW Dynamite Road Rager. Just went off the air. Absolutely wild show. This is going to be a lot of feedback from you guys. A lot of things just to go over, talk about. Things to review. This is going to be a reactionary show, I feel like, for the most part. Lots to talk about. The chat is popping. They seem excited about everything that is going on, being discussed. Let's see here. Got to show some love to Original Big E, first one in the house. Thank you, Obi-Wan. I appreciate you, brother. We've got Ace. Ace, what's good? Derek could not join us tonight. Derek is coaching a baseball game right now. So, big shout out to Derek. B-Boy Skyline, we will get into this. We will most definitely need to get into this. And yes, AEW should sign Fuego del Sol. 100%. Clip this and send it to him. Tell the man Conrad Cushman says he needs to be signed. Maybe that'll help. Azan White, what is going on, Azan? AEW is back, baby, and the road is hot. BJ, what is happening, brother? He said, cannot wait to talk about the show. I tried to get BJ to join me last minute. BJ was unfortunately unable to, man. Hopefully one of these times we'll get BJ back on here to discuss this. Sick in the house as well. Sick said, okay, I'm going to keep it a buck. They should have ended the show with Black debuting. Wasn't feeling that last match, and the ending was kind of lukewarm. Still a great show, just saying minor criticism. I will agree, but the patterns in watching wrestling have changed, Sick. Weird thing is they've noticed that as the longer the shows go on, the fans tend to weed themselves out. So I think they put that in the middle to hold your attention and maybe see, like, will you stick around for it? They're still in the let's try this, let's try that phase. So sometimes people are like, why would you put this match first? Like, I thought Cody and QT Marshall was going to be the main event, but instead they opened. Azan said his 90 days are not up yet. Maybe that was part of the deal with Zelina. I don't know. I don't know how this worked out. That'll have to be a story he has to tell one day. I think it's because I'm getting numb to Canadian destroyers. They used to be match enders and set up a match ender. Now I'm just numb to them. Yeah, overdone move. Rob, what is good, man? Thank you so much for joining us in the chat. Derek, oh, see, Derek's in here. What up, live chat? Hopefully the game's done, Derek. Not tweeting during the game. If you need some pointers, let me know. I got you. Who else do we have in here? Jesus De Leon. What's going on, Jesus? Narcolepsy Boy 94, my man Malik. What's happening? Malik Murray also in here. What is good? Do you think? Uh-oh, man, he's getting into it already. Save that question, Malik, for a little bit in the show. Amanda Nunez was in the crowd. Yes, she was. Yes, she was. I'll keep my laptop near me during these times. Can't wait to make it happen next time. Let me know. Derek says that his team won. Congratulations to the team. 13-0. I respect it. I love it. Congratulations. Shout out to the whole team. So let's get into this show because I don't want to keep you guys too long, but I do want to get into discussions about some of this stuff here. I missed the first couple minutes of the show. I was trying to work on something for you guys. I thought it was going to work out. It didn't work out. Blah. You know, I was doing a lot of stuff today. But we had ourselves a South Beach strap match. No kink shaming, as Dr. Britt Baker said on her show on AEW Dark. Cody Rhodes with Arn Anderson versus QT Marshall with Aaron Solo. Interesting matchup. This is what they've kind of been working towards here as far as Cody and QT taking his team and turning some of the members of the Nightmare family against him. This, I assume this was the big payoff, kind of, sort of. During this match, I came in right around the time Dustin was coming out to chase out Aaron Solo. Dustin Rhodes came out and chased him all the way to the back. Cody takes a nasty back body drop in this. Like, he was supposed to flip, I think, and land on his feet. He landed on his head. It looked bad. I thought Cody was going to get taken out of the match. Like, maybe they threw up the X like he was hurt. But Cody was okay after the ref checked on him, it looked like. They go to the outside. They're brawling with each other. QT gets rammed face first into the ring post and does the blade job. QT is bleeding all over the place. I was not surprised by this with a Cody Rhodes match. There's usually blood somewhere involved in it. QT hit a nice avalanche power bomb when Cody Rhodes went for the Hurricanrana off the top rope. Then he wrapped Cody Rhodes' arms up in the straps, and I really like that. And he hit the diamond cutter, put that chin right up there, and just dropped down. Some people thought that could have been the end, but Cody found a way to get through all of it. QT then tried to stop him. This was like the touch the four corner strap match. Sometimes you're just like, what are we doing here with that? What are we doing? And these guys came out and did what they had to do with this. So not mad. Cody eventually hits the three Cody cutters, though. Taps all four of the corners. He gets the victory. And during the match, the lights went out. I think that was done on purpose now to set up a tease. And I thought it was even during it. I'm like, that's too weird of an accident. Like, too much of a happy medium, I guess we'll say. You just don't have accidents like that happen. To the point to where, oh, the lights just happened to go out. And somebody was like, well, it's Florida. I think it was my brother-in-law said that. And I was just like, what? Nah, man, that's not it. You can't use that right now. So I'm impressed. They did a really good job with this, like I'm saying. I really like Cody in this matchup. I think he needed the victory more than QT Marshall. I know some people say the Nightmare family needs the wins, but I was happy with this one here. I do feel that Anthony Ogogo still should have won, but I think this feud is finished, right? It's cooked. Nobody else needs to do anything else with this. Dylan, I see that you have joined us. I will get to your question, I promise you. We will talk about that. Azan says the feud is no more. BJ says the lights going out in this match was genius. Genius idea in my book, 100%. Ori, thank you so much, man. When you haven't ate and he came back for this show, yes, Ori, Ori. Ori's also on Twitch. Show her some love. And she does a podcast with Tanner and Megs, Change in Attitude. Make sure you check those guys out. Free plug for you for showing up in here, Ori. Thank you. Yeah. And as I said, did you see Ogogo got hurt? Yes, I did see he had eye surgery once again. And they actually had to go through his nose to do it because he's had so many surgeries on his eye. So hopefully he gets stuff going. Here comes Derek. You know Florida can't get right. Come on, D. Come on, D. You got to show some love to Miami a little bit here. I can appreciate it. I can appreciate it. And Ori says, what is this? You're the best, hon. Thank you, Ori. I appreciate you for that. Dude, amazing, amazing what they did here. So the announced team then runs down the card for the rest of the show. We get Shawn Spears backstage doing an interview. Shout out to my man Kyle from the All Elite Podcast. I know they're doing their review right now as well. And they're rubbing their hands together. Shawn Spears is cutting his promo. A chair comes flying out of nowhere. And what the heck happens? Down goes Spears. Here's Sammy Guevara. And Sammy Guevara sits on the chair and says that this is far from over. So it looks like Shawn Spears and Sammy Guevara now have a problem due to him interfering in the match last week. I like it. It's continuing on the positive momentum that Sammy Guevara had going up the card. So I like this move. I like it. Far from over. Like I said, this Inner Circle Pinnacle feud is going to continue. We have more on that too in a minute. Kenny Omega is then interviewed by Tony Schiavone. He comes out there and they're talking about the whole what's going to go on with you with the championship. Here comes Evil Uno and the Dark Order. They're back out to make their case for Hangman Adam Page once again. And, dude, can I just say that with all of this, Kenny Omega plays it off like, well, what's the capital of Thailand? And Evil Uno knows not to fall for that. And he still hits him with a low blow. Ha, 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 Kenny. Hits him with a low blow. And then here comes the Super Elite. They're beating down the Dark Order. They're getting in the ring. And then Adam Hangman Page's music hits. And, bro, when I tell you that Miami stood up and made the loudest reaction that I've heard up to this point in the night, it was freaking amazing, bro. Amazing. He stood up and he came out with his head held high, and Hangman Page was over. The chance for Cowboy Shiznit. I think that's what JR said. He said, Cowboy Shiznit. You know Jim Ross was into this shit, man. He was into it. I just don't understand how we went from, I was just watching All Out with Jericho versus Hangman Page, where Page was at that point, like he was not like the most over talent. And then we got to this point. Hangman Page is over. When the fans are chanting, cowboy shit, this is good stuff, man. They have booked him very well, and I cannot wait to see this matchup. As you guys know on the show, we've been telling you for months, weeks, that this is going to be the matchup, and I'm thinking we're going to get this at All Out. It looks like they're building towards it, but does Hangman win here? Stay tuned for more on that. Let's go to the chat here real quick. Dylan says, will you be on tomorrow night with Jeff? I might be. The issue with Jeff is I usually go exercising right before Dylan, so I usually come on, if you guys want to, Insiders Podcast, free plug for them. I do hop on to their Impact Wrestling Review. So if you guys do want to hear me talk Impact, I've been doing it in there with them just because it's a little easier for me when I am available to hop in and do that. Malik Murray says, I got a question. Do you think that the Pinnacle is going to win all the titles in 2023? I think it's a possibility. It could happen. Will it happen all at the same time? Maybe. Maybe. And Malik Murray thinks we'll see a chairs match. Or he says, what's with my man Kenny's facial hair? I guess that was suggested by Brandon Cutler on BTE. And as we saw tonight, the Young Bucks shaved because they thought that it was bad luck. But Kenny thought, these were sweet. I love these. And if you watch BTE this week, he was like, whoever's idea this was a great idea. And Cutler was like, see, I told you guys. And the Bucks stormed off because they were pissed that he cost him the match from the previous week. Azan says, we are moving fast with the Kenny Hangman stuff. We are. But we've known this was coming, too. We know. Like, it's about time. BJ says Chicago is going to explode. Ori says, nah, Kenny Hangman is a long time coming since before AEW. This is true. This is true. Jesus says he is hyped for Paige and Omega. Love the tease of Paige almost hitting the finisher on Omega. Yes, and I have that in my notes to mention that. I love the callback to Revolution, to where he teased hitting him with the finisher at AEW Revolution, but he didn't. Hangman Page backed off. I like it. I like it. And then when he saw it again tonight, he hesitated. That's going to probably play into the match finish, I think. That's a real big piece of it. It could, I should say, Jesus. It could. Hangman has to win. It becomes 1-1, and then we need the rubber match at Full Gear or Revolution. Derek says Florida got right for once. Laugh out loud, you guys. Fire Cutler Ori says, yeah, I can see you can get into that. Ed Fry's on Twitch. Make sure you guys check us out on Twitch. EPW Show on Twitch. Everything Pro Wrestling on YouTube. Ed says, was it odd after weeks of hot openers to start with Cody, or is it just to get Cody out there first in front of fans for TV? I think that was done to get the ratings up. It was a gimmick match, and I think they were like, you know what? The Bucks can go out and end the show tonight. I think the order of this could have been done multiple ways. I think they wanted to tease something with Cody at first with the lights flickering, which we're going to get into. And I think that's why they did that, Ed. Just my guess on why they did that. Young Bucks banned the Dark Order from BTE. Yes, Ace, that did happen. Chad, what is going on? Yes. Yes, you were, Chad. We're getting into it. It's almost that time. The next matchup that we have here, or excuse me, we had another segment still. Jim Ross sits down with Darby Allin and Ethan Page. Good old JR sits down, and I love Jim Ross in these sit-down interviews. I think he is well-positioned in these. When you have Jim Ross come out to do those sit-down interviews, he can bring a lot out of people in this. And I thought that Darby Allin really shined in this interview. You guys tell me who you got, what you liked about this, but I thought Darby shined in the sit-down interview here. I'm not going to go through it word for word, but they hyped up their coffin match that's going to be happening next week. And I do believe the reason they pulled this match was because of recent news going on in Florida with that building falling down. I think it would have been kind of tasteless to do the coffin match on this show. So I'm glad things got reshuffled a little bit here. Yes, and thank you. I see a bunch of people showing up in here, man. Thank you guys so much. If you can, hit that like button for me. Make sure you guys show some love. If you already have hit the like button, send it to somebody who we haven't. Jocelyn in the house. What's going on, Jocelyn? One time for you, even though we haven't gotten to it yet because Derek's not here. Ricky. Spanish. She sent me that too on Twitter. I was cracking up laughing. Should have paid attention to the lights going out the first time. I think they did that on purpose, though, to fool a lot of people, Jocelyn, because some people didn't notice who I was watching with, too. They were like, oh, maybe it's because it's Florida and they're having hurricane season and stuff down there. So who knows? BJ said that was a great segment. I agree. The Will Jax effects. What's going on, WJE? Thank you so much for joining us. I am doing well tonight. Thank you for asking, my friend. Ori says, I was shocked Ethan or Darby didn't mention that old match where Ethan hit Allin with the shovel. I believe it's been brought up in previous weeks on TV, though, Ori, with the injuries. I think Ethan Page did bring it up. Like, I took you out before and I'm going to do it again. Hence the coffin match. I'm a fan. I like it. Hubbard Wrestling Weekly in the house, another member of the six pack with me and Narcolepsy Boy. Thank you, Sean, for coming in here. I appreciate you. Derek, doing Derek things in the chat. Appreciate you, D. Yeah, so good segment here with Darby Allin. Like I said, JR was in his best element. I like this role right now for Ethan Page. Ethan Page is getting an opportunity to shine. I think he needs it, too. Because I wasn't a big fan of him and Scorpio Sky being put together at first, but the men of the year as a team, I was wrong. I admit, like, when I'm wrong. I know some podcasts and stuff don't bring up other portions of it, but you gotta admit when you're wrong when you're talking about things. So this sit-down interview with Darby Allin, Ethan Page with Jim Ross, tremendous. I'd recommend a lot of people go back to see it. I would also recommend people go back to take a look at the interview here with Kenny Omega that led to Hangman Page coming out. Had a lot of good stuff, man, to start off the show. And we had, like it is in the thumbnail, the South Beach Strap Match 2 that we just talked about. Lots of good stuff, man. I really don't have too many complaints as far as what we had going on for this show. I really, really don't. We had a six-man tag match coming up next here. That match consisted of the Inner Circle, Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz with Conan taking on the Pinnacle, Wardlow, and FTR with Tully Blanchard. Now, this match has been building up off of the feud between the Inner Circle, and the Pinnacle. I almost combined those names. The Inner Pinnacle. So they have been going back and forth at it, and I absolutely have been just digging the mini feuds with the FTR been kind of paired off here with the Proud and Powerful. I wish they would call them that instead of just Santana and Ortiz. We also have Jake Hager, who's been battling with Wardlow. Lots and lots going on with this feud. And this match was all right. Basically, the faction warfare just continues on, and this match was a fight here. Eventually, I'm just going to get into the finish of it. There was a referee distraction, and the finish allowed a triple team to occur on Jake Hager, where they hit the big rig, the former Shatter Machine, and Wardlow ends up getting the pinfall by pinning Jake Hager here, getting a little bit of revenge on him. Couldn't be mad at that. And they end up picking up the victory. Not mad. So they got a victory here. And after the match, Conan's in the ring, and Tully Blanchard gives him a chop block and takes him down. Pinnacle, those bastards. How could they? But I feel like Conan is going to be put with Proud and Powerful so that they can just work together here. Conan's smart, man. He's in it for the money, man. He's going to keep getting booked, and I like that they're doing this. Very, very well done here. Just keeps things flowing as far as the storyline goes, and they're put in kind of a cool-down spot for the card. Works, though. It wins. Let's see here. Jocelyn says, I'm good with the story leading up to their story. I haven't watched much of Ethan Page's history, but the little I did see of him in Impact is a different person. Yes. And she corrected herself, and therefore, to their match. Just wanted to make sure that that was known. BJ says, I'm good with the Inner Circle and Pinnacle feud, but I don't want them to water down Wardlow. My phone was being glitchy. No, you're good, BJ. Not an issue. I hear the intern running around in the hallway there getting documents, I hope, for me. Azan said, I would like to see a whole show with Inner Circle versus Pinnacle matches. You may get that. Going forward, you may get that one of these weeks here. A says it's never over until the Inner Circle says it's over. We'll see about that. So we get a challenge for next week. We have Carl Anderson challenging John Moxley for the IWGP United States Championship on night one. Pretty cool. They had a little video package for it. I like the fact that the Good Brothers are going back to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And they have set this up to where, hey, Moxley, you need to defend your title. So Moxley's back next week. I like what they're doing here. I'm about it. This is good stuff. And I like that Carl Anderson's challenging for it, putting them back in New Japan. It's just making everything all right with the world again. And hopefully, hopefully we can get Moxley back over to Japan to defend this title soon. We get MJF and Chris Jericho after this. Bro. MJF and Chris Jericho have a face-off here. Dear wrestling fans, hold on. Actually, I got to take this off for that. Dear wrestling fans, I know we've been all in the house for a while with the pandemic. And I know we've seen it in the NBA. We've seen it in all different sports. Please do not make yourself part of the show. Do not run in on the shows. Do not just do stuff like this. I don't know what possessed a fan to try to hop over the rail and get near Jericho, but Jericho almost wrecked this dude. He almost punched his lights out, man. Like, you can't do that, man. You just can't. And Jocelyn said it best. Stop that shit. Like, stop it. You can't do that. All right. So make sure you stay in your seats if you're going to shows coming up. Be safe. Be cool. Like, nobody wants that. That doesn't make you cool running out there doing that type of stuff or trying to be part of the show. So MJF and Chris Jericho have their little back and forth. Chris Jericho said it doesn't matter if he has to have a match with MJF's mom to do her again. And MJF gets pretty PO'd. He cuts a great promo on the fans afterwards, saying if another fan wants to try to get in here, he will knock his lights out. Or anyone, for that matter, who gets in the ring, he will knock their lights out. He then tells the story about Greek mythology and goes into the labors of Jericho, saying that he will handpick four opponents for Chris Jericho to face. And if he can get through all of those opponents, he will then get to face Maxwell Jacob Friedman in a match. And afterwards, MJF says, for the deal to be on, you got to shake my hand. You never trust a snake. Never trust a snake. And he shakes his hands. And then Jericho pulls him in for a Judas effect. More than a hat rack, folks. Jericho using the old noodle there to take out MJF. Down he goes, and that is the end of the segment. Jocelyn said, now this person is banned. We'll have to see. This is the first time I think we've seen that in AEW, if a person getting in trouble for hopping the gate. Six said, never met a wrestling fan that didn't get their ass kicked once they hopped that barricade. F around and become famous for all the wrong reasons. Yeah, I've seen it happen wrong with too many other people. With Eddie Guerrero, you can't. Don't be a part of the show, guys. I'm telling you. Let me see here. Malik, I'll get to your question, I promise you. Chris Jericho needs to steal MJF's ring and use it on MJF's head. He could. He's got to get through those other four people first. And I don't know who MJF's got planned for him, but I would like to... I would like to see what's going to happen with all of this, the big lead up here to All Out with these two. In the crowd, we see from UFC, we've got Dan Lambert, Amanda Nunes, and Jorge Masvidal. And they're all out there watching the show. And I thought that was a pretty big coup for like AEW to get those guys sitting there on camera. Well done. UFC fighters want to attend our show. Our show is cool. I believe Dan Lambert is a big wrestling fan, if I'm not mistaken, hence his promo later on in the show. But I thought that was very cool for them to have a bunch of the UFC folks in the house. BJ said, I've read too many places that wrestlers were all too ready for someone to jump so they can show them and everyone why you don't do that-ish. Yeah, don't do that. Afterwards, we get Dr. Britt Baker cutting a promo, and she will face Nyla Rose at Fyter Fest 2. I'm not getting into the promo. She had a couple little jabs in there about blood money and stuff like that. Whatever. We got the match for Fyter Fest Night 2. I'm not going to elaborate too much on that. Let's get into Matt Sydal versus Andrade El Idolo. Andrade still rocking the black mask type attire. I really dig this attire. Some people aren't probably Black Mask fans who are DC comic readers, but Black Mask, I thought it was really dope, and he's more so like the video game portrayal of the recent Batman games of Black Mask, wearing the white suit with the black tie with the pinstripes. Really well done with the black mask with the skull. Andrade wrestled in kind of the pants with the pinstripes as well. Very different for him. Matt Sydal is an incredible person to first have him work with. He's been crushing it in a lot of these opportunities he's been given. And the matchup was decent, exactly what I expected from it. Andrade still can hit all of the moves that he did. He did a little bit of a different finish for this one. Andrade, instead of hitting the hammerlock DDT, Andrade hits the flatliner on Matt Sydal instead for the victory. After the match, he uses his tie that he took off earlier that was part of the outfit, ties up his arms, and then puts him in a submission hold. Vicky loves it. Vicky has someone else with her that comes to the ring with Andrade. It all works. Andrade gets the victory. Matt Sydal's hurt, and Andrade looks like a future star. Not too bad. Let's see here. Azan says Dan Lambert works with MLW. Okay, I believe that. I'm a little behind on MLW, I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen it since the last big Jacob Fatu title defense. He took a big bump. Good for him. MJF's mom, you better get a blanket for your son, MJF, because he's going to need it because he's going night-night soon. Vicky, a.k.a. MILF. Hey, now, come on, Azan. Vicky. The mister was hyped as soon as he seen Andrade with that on. See? He knows. DC Comics. Big shout out to them. BJ says, I know this sounds bad, but I wasn't digging the Andrade match. I mean, I want him to do well for sure, but something just doesn't click with me. I can understand that, BJ. That's why I said with his match, I was kind of like, it met the standard. Jesus said, great debut for Andrade. I think we're going to see mixed reactions to this. Kind of a rough debut for me. He won. Let's improve. Yeah, you guys are all, I'm not arguing with anybody here. I think the verdict's still out on this. I'm not ready to make a decision on it yet. We'll see. We'll see. I think they could do some tweaking. Like, I didn't like the attire tonight, really, with the pinstripe pants. Didn't work for me because he was wearing, like, dress pants in the ring, and it looked weird. But we'll see. Andrade claimed he had a surprise. A lot of people thought it was going to be Zelina Vega, but she debuted on SmackDown. Who could it be? What could it be? Still questions to be answered. We get a Matt Hardy Christian promo for Fyter Fest. This is not the year 2000 or 1999. Yes, we are getting Matt Hardy and Christian promos. But I'm okay with this matchup happening here rather than on pay-per-view. Basically playing off their past history with each other. Who's going to get the big win? Wait and see at Fyter Fest night one. That'll be next week that we'll be covering here on the podcast. Next week, Rob's going to be joining me for the podcast. Derek will be out of town for baseball once again. So Rob will be joining me on the show, and I cannot wait to review Fyter Fest with him. Arn Anderson comes out. This is what everybody wanted to talk about. This is what everybody had something to say about. The internet erupted with this. Arn Anderson comes out and he's about to cut a promo. About what? Who knows? I figured maybe we were getting something with Brock here, but Arn Anderson comes out and he's about to cut a promo, and then he took the mic from Tony. Can we stop taking the mic from Tony Schiavone? What the hell is the point of Tony Schiavone being there if it's like every time snatch the mic? I think it's a joke at this point. But Arn Anderson's out there. Boom. Lights go out. In the ring, Aleister Black, formerly known as Tommy End, formerly known as now, I should say he's going to be known as now, Malachi Black. He has this dirt around his eyeball. I don't know what it is, some makeup around it. And he came in and he hit Arn Anderson with a black mask and put him down. The arena erupted, bro. All you heard was Tommy End. People loved it. I like that they gave Aleister Black that new name. Malachi fits him with that dark persona. I'm cool with this. I like it. Malachi Black gives him a new feel. I think more people knew him as Aleister Black, so maybe he wanted to keep part of that name. I like it. I'm a fan. Let me see here. Six said, don't get why Zelina didn't sign to AEW as well. Would have been a great way for them to be established as a faction, like a Dark King and Queen gimmick. She could have been both a manager and a solo act. I hear you on that, Six. I'll get into that afterwards. Remind me, because we're going to probably talk about this for a minute here. But Malachi Black debuts. Cody even comes out because Arn is head coach of the Nightmare Family. Cody comes out and he is not playing. He's yelling like, what are you doing? And guess what? He eats a black mask for himself too. Sit your ass down. This is my show. That was a great way to make a debut. Nobody saw it coming. I don't know what happened with the 90 days. A lot of people are wondering. I don't know if Zelina worked that out for him. Maybe Vince said, hey, here's my blessing. I'm sorry it didn't work out with you. Who knows? Who knows? But this worked. The man just released a promo for you. I didn't even watch it yet. I watched part of it earlier, like the very beginning of it, and then I had to stop. And then from this point forward, I promise you, I was super busy. I have not seen the video yet, so I'm interested to see how that relates to this or plays into it. Dude, great debut. Great debut. And I really think that I would love if they could get rid of the 90-day no-compete clauses for wrestlers. Truthfully. Let these guys go out and work afterwards. It would be great. Let's see here. I just want to get into some of these points. So back to 6 point here with Zelina Vega. I don't know why Zelina went back to the WWE. Maybe she felt like she had unfinished business there. I am going to say this, though, from a kind of, I guess, a crueler side of me. If Zelina Vega has any complaints because she went back there afterwards, it's not going to get any sympathy from me. Sometimes when these guys resign and they haven't been used properly, you're just like, all right. I mean, you know what's going to happen or what could happen. So you made your bed, you got to lay in it. Do I want that to happen to Zelina? No, not at all. Am I sad that she deleted the unionization tweet? Yeah, because I feel like she's being silenced. But it's what's going to be happening at this point. Rob says it's got to be a rib at this point with the taking the mic away from Tony Schiavone, Malachi Black, TPWS, the pro wrestling shoot. What is going on, man? I appreciate you guys for joining us here tonight. BJ says he's continuing his story from where his eye got taken out, which I find interesting. Yeah, still playing off of the Seth Rollins storyline. From way back when with that. I was not a fan of that storyline, but he's keeping consistency with it. Azan said maybe he had a 30-day non-compete. Maybe. Has it been 30 days? Was it a month? I think it was still less than that. I think they just wiped that whole thing away. Will Jack's Effect says Malachi Black is now all elite. Jocelyn says, son of a gun, I approve. Bring on the mass ending. Okay, I see you. Let's see here. Where are we with this? Sorry, I'm jumping here. Rob says, I love the new name. I love the name. I love the aesthetic, and I love the debut. Arn finally caught the beatdown he didn't deserve. Rob always says he deserves his beatdowns that he gets because he starts it. Tommy Ann got a good reaction from the crowd. Jesus, 100% spot on, my brother. Like, he deserved this reaction. He's a top-tier talent, and I'm surprised that, like, WWE let him slip through. I thought this guy was great in NXT. He really had something. He had 30, I guess, non-compete. Okay. It felt like it was less than that. That dirt from hell around his eye, CJG, someone isn't a metal fan. glad he's back to work. I definitely agree, Jesse. And how are you, brother, man? I've missed you. We got to work together soon on something. Once you're all set up, and I saw your new setup. It actually looks dope. But enough of the sidebar, right? He has 30 days not compete. Okay. Conrad, looks like Cody will need a bodyguard now to protect him from Tommy Ann. That was Arn's job, Chad. That was Arn's job. You turned the background off? Yeah, Rob. I'll tell you more offline for it. Six said he's going to take AEW to a whole nother level, man. Black and Omega, come on now. Whew! Yes. Yeah, the game sellout vibes. Yeah, she gave me sellout vibes. She gave me sellout vibes. But whatever, that's her business, I guess. Just kind of hard to respect it. True that. And there's the correction on it. My apologies. Shabazz said, stupid move by Vega. She goes back and gets rolled up in less than 2 minutes. He comes in and takes out two strong characters. Shabazz, you always make good points, my brother. That is a good point right there. Maybe he never had a compete clause, a competition clause. Maybe. We don't know. I'm sure... the former Aleister Black would let us know. The new Malachi Black. I got to get used to calling him that. I'm great, bro. Finally chilling and having time to talk wrestling. I'm happy for you, man. I'm happy for you. Let me know once you're getting ready and we can try to maybe fit in some plugs for your podcast again if you're getting it started back up, brother. But, yeah, this was a really good debut. And let me just point out some of the other things that go through my mind. Now, I know you guys, I was talking about Twitch earlier. Follow me, twitch.tv/EPW show. And I play video games on there as well. When we look at the AEW video game roster. Bro, first, big shout out to the Ukes team. My man Brian Williams over there working hard on the games. I know Brian always holds it down and represents all the wrestling video game fans. One of the best, man. If you get the opportunity to talk to him, show him some love, please do. Please do. And tell him Conrad sent you. So when you're talking about this video game, this roster is becoming stacked, bro. They have Mark Henry. They have Paul White, the Giant, Big Show, whatever you want to call him. They just added Malachi Black. They are adding people to these games that's going to make it amazing. Like, their roster is increasing. I'm impressed by all of this, man. I really am. Like, I think it's really good what they're doing here. So smart, man. Let me see here. Uh-oh, July 19th, first drop in 6 months. There we go. There we go. Chad says Lana should be signed next with her husband Miro. I could see it happening possibly. If the role fits and they have something for it to help Miro out, I could see that happening. Obi-Wan, somebody was given a 90-day non-compete. We just never know who it was. Maybe we do now. And Obi-Wan, since you brought up that well, I have to tell you guys a little promo coming up here for in 10 days, I think it's going to be. I have a scheduled stream going out. You guys may have seen it pop up on your YouTube feed if you're subscribed to the channel. If not, please do. We have a retro review coming out with me and Casey Briggs actually are going to be on it talking about Money in the Bank 2011. And there is a lot to discuss from it. And Casey Briggs has a very interesting take on that when it comes to the Big Show's theme. I would recommend that you guys listen to it when it comes out. Jesus says, wonder if they're going to add AEW dark wrestlers. They could, maybe. It wouldn't hurt. I want to see they add guys from Impact and all the other companies that they've been working with. That's one thing that I think would be interesting. Hopefully, once we get some news, I can do a video game discussion video. I plan on trying to get a couple people on if I can, especially the gamers in the chat. We get a Ricky Starks promo. He basically gets into the ring and pisses off Brian Cage, talking about his mother, or his wife, excuse me. That is the lovely Melissa Santos from Lucha Underground and Impact Wrestling. I don't know if she's still there, too, but Ricky Starks cuts a promo and basically, you know, says something inappropriate about Cage's wife. He is facing Brian Cage next week for the FTW title. Basically, it's like who's the leader of Team Taz, possibly. Interesting. Taz, Hook, and Will Hobbs look like they did not support what was going on between these two here. So that should be a fight amongst Team Taz. Ricky. Spanish. Just for Jocelyn. This whole Team FTW was weird. Yeah, it came off kind of funky. Murphy might be next or Daniel Bryan. I would love either one of them to join. Conrad, I have a feeling Ruby will probably be signed with AEW after they sign Lana. Just saying, I would love for Ruby Soho, now she's going by, to join that crew. I think that would be good. Let's see here. BJ said the W in FTW stands for wife, according to the Stroke Daddy. Yeah, Ricky Starks. He can talk on that mic. I'll tell you that. Mixed tag match here with Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander versus The Blade and The Bunny. This match kicks off with the usual Orange Cassidy shenanigans, him doing the light kicks to The Bunny. Then The Blade gets in. Same thing. They're doing all the usual stuff here. I do like the fact that in this matchup, Chris Statlander hit a 450, and they called it a 451, like area 451. Kudos. It made me smile, so I had to write that down in the note. But she hit a great 450 in this match. During this match, her 450 pinfall was broken up after the pinfall. So she hit it on The Blade. The 450. Orange goes for the pin. It gets broken up, but then The Blade, out of nowhere, he had brass knuckles taken away from him in the beginning by Aubrey, gets him again and knocks out Orange Cassidy. And I will say this is probably one of the better endings to a match. Orange gets pinned, but he is not the legal man. A tag was made, by Chris Statlander, and the ref saying, no, he's not the legal man, it can't be him. Allie, the bunny, has to get in the ring, and when she does, she runs right into Chris Statlander, and they end up, her and the Blade, knocking into each other. The Big Bang Theory, and we hear the 1, 2, 3. We get the victory, man, for Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. Well done finish, whoever booked that match. I have to give them props for that. I like that. Orange and the Blade feud must roll. Impact Wrestling, you should bring back Allie for one last ride with Rosemary. Chad, I think we can see that possibly happen. The bunny has no personality in the ring to me. Hey, Jocelyn, some people's characters aren't for everybody. I can respect what you're saying, though, when it comes to Allie. I feel like they're lost without the Butcher. I really miss that tag team. Bring back the Butcher. But they're from Buffalo, so I will say I do have a little bias towards them. Shout out to my Buffalo peeps. But hopefully they can get back. I thought them being in a group with Aleister would have really, or excuse me, Malachi Black. I think that would have been great. Rob just let me know that the Tampa Bay Lightning just repeated. Congratulations to them. Buffalo Sabres, get on your shit. Yeah, so Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander pick up the victory in this match. Then we get into this whole Dan Lambert thing. So we were discussing this match. Dan Lambert, after this match, gets into the ring, and he is running down basically AEW and says, yeah, I was told you got to come check this out, this AEW wrestling. And then he said, hopefully it's like the wrestling of my yesteryear. I feel like this is going to be one of those promos Jim Cornette loves or hates. And he was like, yeah, I was a big fan of Florida Championship Wrestling from the 70s and 80s. And did he ever really get that feeling with this? And he said, you know, it's best to listen to your gut instincts because they will let you down. Well, apparently they let him down, and he was not happy with AEW tonight. And he left his fight team over there, Amanda and Jorge. They're watching, looking on. And then we hear everybody dies. Here comes Lance Archer. And Lance Archer actually beats up Dan Lambert here. And he hits him with the blackout slam. I love it. I thought it was a great way to remind people, hey, we've got this guy named Lance Archer, and he likes to beat people up. Jake the Snake Roberts got to make an appearance. I think that Dan Lambert probably enjoyed making the appearance with Jake. Thumbs up. I was not mad at this segment here. Even though he did say Dustin Poirier will beat Conor McGregor because he was training with him, apparently. That was the segment. That was it. And I'm happy that Lance Archer is getting the chance to get something here. I really want to see him get something bigger still, though. Butcher is supposed to be back anytime now. Same with Phoenix. Yeah, I cannot wait. Rob says F Jack Eichel. We will put that on the screen. But we'll see what happens with him, too. Conrad, the Suns-Bucks game was crazy last night. Hopefully the Suns keep Chris Paul. Yeah. Yeah, Suns are my pick right now to win it. Jason Staffer, or Stuffer, excuse me. I don't know how you say that. If I'm butchering the name, please let me know. Conrad, did you catch the Impact reference when the fans were chanting you got fired while Don Callis was on the mic during the Omega interview? I missed it because I was not there for the beginning part of the Omega interview. I came in right around the time the Super Elite came out. But I love it, though, that if they were chanting that, Jason, that is fan freaking tastic if they were, because he was relieved of his duties and Impact. Hope we get Amanda in AEW to do a match. Jesus, I would not be mad. Amanda Nunes is one of the biggest badasses and draws in UFC right now. So, yeah. And Dan can cut a good-ass promo. He did. He had heel heat from what he was saying. Lance Archer sent Dan Lambert back to reality. That felt like he was using tweets that was being said and made a segment. Probably did, Jocelyn. Probably did. You're probably spot on with that because that's what it did sound like. It sounded like a bunch of Cornette's fans, and he was just like, oh, let's just use this stuff. Let's run down next week's card here before we get into the main event. So next week, Fyter Fest Night 1. Be joined by Rob. We'll be back next week. Hit that subscribe button for us. let's get into the matches here. We'll have Darby Allin versus Ethan Page in a coffin match. Put him in a coffin. We'll also have Matt Hardy versus Christian Cage for the FTW Championship. Brian Cage versus Ricky Starks. Penelope Ford will be taking on my girl is back, Yuka Sakazaki, one of my favorites. I'm so glad to have her back in AEW. We will also hear from Adam Hangman Page next week. And Jon Moxley defends the IWGP Championship, U.S. Championship, excuse me, against Carl Anderson. That should be a banger of a match. So Fyter Fest Night 1 looks really fun. We know for Night 2 they've announced Britt Baker defending the Women's Championship against Nyla Rose. So we've got some interesting things happening here. And before we get into this main event, let us talk. They made the street fight the main event. I could have swore they were going to flip the first match and the last match if I was guessing how they were going to put the card together. But I'm not mad. The Young Bucks defending the AEW tag team titles in a street fight against Penta and Eddie Kingston. Good money to me. The Young Bucks come out in this matchup, and they have shaved in this matchup. They have shaved off the mustaches from last week, probably because they believe they were bad luck. But they came out in jorts. Why, bro? They came out with headbands on, looking like Billy Kidman and John Cena and Scotty Riggs from The Flock. Like, I don't know what these dudes were doing here. They came out goofy as hell, but it's the Bucks at this point. And you know what? I've grown to love to hate them. Like, just that's what you have to do. Eddie Kingston here, he was just ready for a fight. So as soon as they get in the ring, a trash can is flying in the air, and these guys are ready to fight. A table was put upside down with the legs up, and Eddie Kingston got slammed onto the table with the legs up. Beast, bro. Beast mode. We then saw a Mexican destroyer through the table, as Sick referenced before in the chat. Dude, why? Why are we seeing so many destroyers? We've got to put a limit on this. We got to cap those. Mark Henry, if you're listening, please tell them. Chill out with that. So afterwards, we get into Eddie Kingston locking in a choke. It looks like they're possibly, or a sleeper, I don't know what you want to call it. He's got a submission on. Nick Jackson is climbing towards the top rope. Matt's getting ready to tap out. And Nick Jackson sees that he's about to, and he 450s the referee, and then Matt begins to tap out. He saved the match for his team by doing something illegal here. Reminds you of just those dirt bags when you play SmackDown, the old SmackDown games with them, and they just punch the ref. Why are you doing that, bro? You're killing me here. Afterwards, here come the Good Brothers. They're coming out ready to help, ready to cheat. Cutler's trying to interfere with his cold spray. Well, the Elite Hunter, whatever with that name, he comes out. Kaz power bombs Cutler as he's still spraying in the air. Cutler has been fantastic with like the comedy parts. He gets power bombed through a table. Actually, the table broke really weird, and it looked like his back, lower back, like ate part of that table. So hopefully you're all right, Brandon Cutler, because that looked rough. But they go through the table, boom, power bomb spot happens, he's down. Thumbtacks were thrown at Eddie Kingston and Pentagon, like right in their face. They just grabbed a handful of thumbtacks and the Bucks threw them right at their face. And I'm like, dude, what the heck is going on here, bro? So they throw the thumbtacks. Eventually, they take out Pentagon, and Eddie Kingston's left in the ring, and he's trying to fight through everything, but they end up opening his mouth, putting thumbtacks in, double super kicking him as thumbtacks fly out everywhere. They double pin Eddie Kingston, both of the Bucks, 1, 2, 3. And the Bucks retain. Not that anyone expected anything differently, but it's what it is. And I wanted to get into Pro Wrestling Shoot. Says AEW's been super good. My heart hurts for the E, though. They've been dropping the ball. Yeah. Someone said their team name should have been Just Insufferable with that look. Oh, peace, BJ. Arctic Orange Jordan 1 And my I'm reading that terribly. Arctic Orange Jordan 1 mids. Finally, they wear real pairs. Chad says they were young bucks looking like hippies from the 70s. Yeah, these jorts, they were not cool jorts. I don't even think jorts are cool anymore. Petey Williams came out of semi-retirement because of this nonsense with the Destroyers. Thank you. It's oversaturated, plus an insult to Petey Williams. I was that dirtbag, Rob says. Match of the night, Jesus said. He was feeling this, man. Yeah, guys, let me know what your overall grades were, though, for tonight's AEW Dynamite. We can go out of 5 out of 10. Let me know if it's like 2 out of 5, if it's 4 out of 10, whatever you're going to say. Shout out to the Hitman Bret Hart for that 4 out of 10 reference. But let me know what you guys thought of tonight's show. Honestly, thumbs up from me. I really enjoyed it. I really don't have a bad thing to say about this. Maybe what Six said, could you have maybe paced the show better? Maybe. Maybe. I don't have all the data and statistics, though, while I'm looking at it. I think the Malakai Black, great move, great surprise, excited to see it. I love it. They're really doing a good job with all of that. Will Jax Effect says 10 out of 10 show. He is happy, and he's already got the Malakai Black logo up. Go ahead, brother. Pro Wrestling Suit says Jordans ain't cool no more. Meanwhile, I'm over here wearing Jordan everything. I'm always down with the Jordans, brother. Solid 4 out of 5, 8 out of 10, and a thumbs up from Rob. That is high praise coming from him. My score for AEW is a 10 out of 10 because Tommy N showing up. Chad, respect it, bro. Respect it. I had fun with this show tonight. I like it. I don't know how Fyter Fest and everything else is going to hold up. Ooh, Jesus said 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10 for BJ. Okay, this was good. I'm with Jocelyn, 8.5, yes. Didn't pay attention to too many moments, but 8.5 is good. Or matches. Yeah. Yeah, really good. I love what they did. Much respect, much respect. If you guys don't know, I upload all these episodes afterwards onto a podcast feed. You guys can get those on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you can. I also have to give a big, 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 big shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped. You guys can use our promo code EPWSHOW. Get yourselves 20% off and free delivery. Make sure you guys just put in the promo code EPWSHOW and use the same promo code on powerslam.tv. And you guys can also get one free month of pro wrestling for free on us. So big shout outs to the sponsors and big shout out to the chat and all you guys showing up tonight. Ace gave the show a 9 out of 10 as well. Dude, it was a good show. That's what it sounds like overall. And I cannot wait to hear and look through all of the fan reaction on to Twitter and all the social medias. With that being said, though, guys, next week me and Rob will be back for Fyter Fest. We've also got, like I said, that Money in the Bank retro review coming up for you guys around the 17th. Be prepared for that. I would love to see a comment from all of you guys on your thoughts on that show if you guys watched it back then. And, we'll set up everything. So for myself here at Everything Pro Wrestling, Conrad Cushman, thank you for watching Everything Pro Wrestling. If you guys have already hit the like button, tell a friend this week. We're looking for more subscribers, more people to join us in the live streams afterwards. Spread the word. Show me some love. And give me a follow on Twitter at EPWShow. We are out for this show. Thank you. Peace. Everyday pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinions, the lesson, yes. By the fans, for the fans, not many in this can understand, this the podcast to show you who I am, Conrad Cushman, the legend in the plans, please listen every day to the showcase, the opinions and knowledge that anyone can take, showing you how it is done, proving I am number one, what a legend becomes, this is now my time to show you that I am here, this podcast just to make it loud and clear, by the fans, for the fans, not many who's here can understand. Everything pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen.
podcast here for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinion and the lesson, yes. Everyday pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinions, the lesson, yes.